a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
At ball to center field, well struck. Jordan bidding for a home run. It's gone! He hit the changeup at the center, and the Astros lead 4-0. Jordan's first home run since coming back from the IL.
That's awesome.
You called it. He saw
yeah,
the changeup.
Saw the changeup, yeah.
And then he got another one.
Yeah, you can't.
Handle.
If he sees it, you're in trouble.
Jeff, please let Todd speak. Let him speak. Save the burps that occasionally happen and the questions about analytics for down moments, okay? That was Jordan's first home run in like 3 months. Settle down. Turn the volume down. Where's Ranch Wilder from Angels in the Outfield to turn the microphone off? Easy, Jeff. Less is more. Come on. I get you're an Astros legend and all that. I'm just saying. Let's bask in the moment and let Todd's majestic Syracuse University educated voice take the reins, huh? Astros won last night. They've got a game this afternoon looking to take 2 of 3 against the just god-awful Colorado Rockies. And there were some good things that happened in last night's game that makes it easy to ignore things that you'd crush after a loss. First off, let's talk about the best moment of last night. Jordan Alvarez going yard. Just his fourth homer of the year because he wasn't doing so hot before he missed all of that time with what we thought was a muscle strain in his hand that turned out to be a fracture in his hand, that turned out to be inflammation that was very hard to recover from. Thank you very much, Astros medical staff and training staff, for keeping us guessing and now making us paranoid about the Houston Texans and Joe Mixon. But seeing Jordan go yard last night was sick. Also awesome, Cam Smith went yard. It's been a while for him, too. Saw him going back into the dugout after blasting that one out of the park, and you could tell that was much needed for him. You're a rookie. You've been slumping for a while. Thank you, Colorado Rockies, for being the sacrificial lamb to get both Jordan and Cam Smith going. And then, Framber Valdez. That's the kind of Framber Valdez experience you expect when he's pitching against one of the worst teams in baseball. 7 innings, 99 pitches to get there, 5 strikeouts, 3 hits allowed, just 2 walks. Nice, Framber. Bounce back games for 3 key Astros, one of which we haven't seen in a while, the other who's been slumping a while, and the third, someone we just have higher standards for, much like we had for Hunter Brown the night before. And I get it. There was an error, and it led to Hunter Brown giving up more runs that weren't actually his fault, at least based off of that old statistic, earned runs. But there was some good in last night's game. I saw Jeremy Branham frame it as it was basically game 6 from the 2022 World Series against the Philadelphia Phillies. Hell yeah! Minus the, you know, beating the Phillies, you beat the Rockies, who are god-awful and have now 50 road losses on the season. They are 38 and 95. Wow. So, we'll see what happens this afternoon for the Astros. This is one of those games where the good that you saw makes you feel a little bit better about things that you would have 100% crushed had the Astros lost this game as well. The things I will point at. All right, 1 for 4 with runners in scoring position isn't that bad. But the Rockies pitcher that was on the hill against you, Chase Dollander was 2-10 with a 6.5+ ERA going into last night's game. He did kind of handle you. 7 strikeouts in 6 innings. You only had 3 hits against him. I mean, 1 earned run from the starter. It was a dicey game until Cam Smith went yard off of a reliever and then Yordan added the insurance. But Smith and Yordan did not do that against starter Chase Dollander, who also, like the Colorado Rockies, stinks. So that's all I'm going to say. Those are some things that you would perhaps feel worse about had the Astros lost last night. And I'll say this as well. You want to get your paranoia Hawaiian shirt on. I don't know why I framed it like that, but just go with me here. Yordan's not playing today. 1 yard last night, not playing today. Did the home run hurt his hand? And he's not the only Astro dealing with a hand injury of sorts. Yiner Diaz is now day-to-day with a sore hand when he swings. Please, for the love of God, Astros medical and training staff, learn your lesson and do imaging immediately. And then do imaging the next day. And then do imaging the day after that. And keep on doing imaging until you're absolutely sure that nothing is broken, which hopefully will be something that you realize when he's back in the lineup. Okay? Thank you. It is the Paul Gallant Show. Hello and welcome aboard the most interactive sports talk show in town. You want to jump in, you know how to do it. 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975 on the brand new ESPN Houston app available for your iPhone and Android. And it's on 97.9 HD2. We got AJ Russ and Frashawn Mapes behind the glass. Someone just commented, Paul, why aren't you at the Golden Nugget? It looks like he didn't get his permission slip signed. How do I answer this? I'm not going to lie. I just get mad about the drive to the Golden Nugget. Not because I don't like the Golden Nugget and not because I don't like some of the other stuff in Lake Charles. It's more whenever I think that I have to drive multiple hours to gamble on sports in a state that is about as, hey, we should be able to do whatever we want because we will do whatever we want and we can do whatever we want. I think that is ridiculous. Much like that liquor stores are closed on Sundays. Ridiculous. There's rules here. I'm like, what? Why? Why are we doing this? Can't get marijuana. I'm a sinner. I'll hold my hand up. But this is how I will spin zone, not hanging out at the Golden Nugget with John, with Lance, with Sean Mapes, with Dell. 2.5-hour drive. I got to go drive that far to gamble on sports if I wanted to. Not that I necessarily do. You know? But the Golden Nugget's great. As is the LaBerge and all the other stuff in the area, okay? And whoever else would pay us in the Greater Lake Charles area. Just being perfectly honest here. You want to jump in, 713-780-3776 to call the text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Joe Espada, by the way, did not manage last night's game. He was feeling ill. Omar Lopez managed instead. Joe Espada texted Lopez 30 minutes before the game asking if Lopez could manage. And my biggest question is, where did he send this text from? Where did he send it from? Because you would think, hey, 30 minutes before the game, Joe Espada is probably at the ballpark, right? He's probably somewhere. Was he on the pooper? That was my first thought. Joe Espada, he's in the bathroom. Neither he's got a towel on the ground so he can yak, or he's perhaps, you know, taking care of business. He gets his phone out. And he's like, oh, God, Omar, please take care of this. Please. But he probably said it in a little bit more. Hey, man, I'm just not feeling so hot. He went home. He got some rest. I guess he's back out there at the ballpark today. So it must have been some case of food poisoning or something along those lines. But 30 minutes before the game, feeling like he can't go. sucks when you get that to that point. I've had it happen myself. I remember the Killer Bee spent a whole episode talking about that once. But it's fine. We're all good here. Everyone's good in the hood that we like to call ESPN Houston. As far as going forward, the Mariners took 2 of 3 against the Padres. So the Astros American League West lead is sadly just 1.5 games. The Astros could add to said lead because the Mariners have the day off today, assuming that they take care of business against the Rockies. No game for Seattle. But Seattle's schedule is about to turn into a cupcake buffet. Per Tankathon, they have the 7th easiest schedule in baseball the rest of the season. Here's who they'll play. 3 games against a Cleveland team that recently went viral for one of their players getting into it with their manager. Cleveland's in 3rd place in the Central. 3 games against a Tampa Bay team that started off the season pretty well, but they're now 4th in the American League East. A lot of their games have been on the road. This one, at least Tampa Bay gets to play at home in that Yankees minor league stadium. 3 at Atlanta, they're 4th in the East of the National League. 3 at home against St. Louis, 4th in the National League Central. 4 against the Angels, 5th, dead last in the American League West. 3 against a Royals team that is 69-65, 2nd place in the American League Central. 3 against the Strohs, 3 against the Rockies at home, and then 3 against the Dodgers to wrap up the year. The Dodgers are back in 1st place in the National League West. They've won 4 games in a row. The Mariners taking care of business against the Padres, put them back in there. Stands to reason the Dodgers, given who they are and the talent that they have, could have the division locked up by the end of the year. So, rest of the way, toughest games for the Mariners are against the Royals and us. As far as for the Astros going forward, okay, they have 1 game left against the Rockies and then 4 against the Angels. But after that, it's 3 against a Yankees team that is tied for the best stretch in their last 10 games in baseball. They've won 7 of 10. 3 against a Rangers team that, yes, is in 3rd place in the West, but they've won 6 of 10 and they're tied for the 2nd best stretch in the American League right now, having won 6 of 10. 3 against the Blue Jays in 1st place in the American League East, and they lead the American League by 0.5 game. 3 against the Braves, who are playing better of late, even though they're in 4th place. Yeah, Paul, don't the Mariners play that too? Yes, but I'm framing it in a way that makes it seem like it's tougher when the Astros go up against them. Do you remember the World Series? Remember the 2021 World Series. Remember the Alamo. 3 against the Rangers, again, who are playing better of late. 3 against the Mariners. 3 against the A's, who are tied with the Yankees for the best stretch in baseball of late, having won 7 of 10. Yes, they're in 4th place. And then 3 against the Angels to wrap up the year. So you got 7 games left against the Angels going forward. But after that, you're playing teams that are, at the very least, in the playoffs if the season were to end today, or are playing better. So you had your opportunity to gain some ground on the Mariners. You didn't take advantage. That's all. 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. The Houston Texans are in the midst of a new era. No, there has been no popular player that's proposed to a pop star because Taylor Swift is in her engaged era with Travis Kelce. None of that. But, the Texans, they've got a brand new attitude. Do you buy into it? You'll hear about it on the flip side. Stick around. It's the Paul Gallant Show.
You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in town. A couple of people agree with some of my takes, mainly about the need to drive multiple hours. Yes, 2 hours, Texter. If you say multiple, it makes it sound like it's a lot more difficult to get over there. Bad traffic? Uh-oh. A Joe Spot a long stop at Bucky's? Uh-oh. It could be 3 or more. you know. But a couple other people texted in. Key from L.A., yeah, what's up with the liquor laws? There's been so many times on a Sunday where I've gone to a liquor store and remembered, oh, yeah, it's closed. I've lived here long enough where I should know, but I guess it's just like wishful thinking that someday it's going to be open. Like in Good Will Hunting, Ben Affleck says, someday I hope you're just not going to be here when I knock on the door. From the 409, I live in Orange on the border. I'm a true degenerate. I drive across the border every Saturday and Sunday in the fall to place all my football bets. Texas needs to get with it. Yeah, that's all. Nothing against the fine people at the Golden Nugget and the city of Lake Charles, but I'm not bummed out. I'm not there with the morning show and Sean and Dell, you know? Anyway, another texter asks, why is Yordan not playing? Great question. Honestly, with this Astros training staff, the number one first take most people should have is, uh-oh, another setback. Here we go. Another note before today's game, which first pitches in about 50 minutes or so. Lance McCullers is available today out of the bullpen. Interesting. So perhaps they are soft launching his transition into that role, which I know is something that our friend Astros front office insider Jeremy Booth has been pushing for quite some time. DJ Bien-Aimé, our friend, wrote a very interesting piece about the Houston Texans, a season preview piece of sorts, for ESPN.com. You should check it out. There were some very noteworthy things said in said article. I want to focus on what the ownership said, because I look at the ownership and I talk about the attitude of the Texans going forward. Ownership seems to think they're good enough, to the point where I wish that they hadn't spoken in this article. They talked at the Greenbrier with DJ and some other Texans reporters. Cal saw progress last season. He thought Houston was a ways away following the loss to Baltimore in the playoffs. And after playing more competitively against Kansas City in the playoffs, Cal feels the Texans were on the doorstep. What makes us feel good, said Cal, is the past 2 years we've had good results, and we're expecting, hopefully, that these roster and off-season decisions turn into something along those lines. That is the hope. But I don't agree with the past 2 years being good results. Anyone on the outside looking in at what the Texans were last year will tell you that they were a disappointment. Anyone who witnessed it firsthand, you'd probably say the same thing, if not feeling worse about what you saw last year. You know? It was a very disappointing 10-7 final eight season. You can't argue against that. The offense did not take any steps forward, and I know that injuries were a factor, but the offensive line stunk, the running game stunk, and you added a bunch of weapons this past offseason, which had led, going into the 2024 year, to a lot of people wondering, oh, could the Texans have 3,000-yard receivers, which was a crazy idea at the time, which I told you about, but hey, it's fine. You don't always listen to the actual voice of football reason in town. It's fine. Maybe this year you will.
Paul, didn't you pick the Texans to go like 11-6 and make it to the AFC Championship game?
Yes, because I believe that they took the step forward that Cal McNair thinks that they took forward. I don't think they took it. But more from Cal McNair in this article with DJ Bien-Aimé. We'll attack some other parts of this article later on in the show. Cal offered words of encouragement in August, saying, quote, we hope to see us get a little better this year. Hannah McNair chimed in, and this is where I am not a fan. I like Hannah. I think that everything that the Texans have done from a, I guess, front office perspective, all the good ideas, I think that Hannah has been involved with all of them. You know, that's nothing against Cal. It's more, I just think Hannah clearly has an ear for how people feel that maybe Cal didn't and the McNair family didn't. But she said this after hearing Cal saying we're hopefully to be better, Hannah said, a lot better. A lot better, a lot better. Come on. We got to take baby steps here. With how disappointing last year was relative to the expectations, a lot better? Like, don't set the bar so high. You shouldn't. I would rather the Texans go into this year as an afterthought, you know? A lot better? Like, that's your expectation. If that's your expectation, I think you're going to be disappointed. Disappointed to the point where major decisions are made in the offseason. I don't know about that. It would have to be a disastrous season for the Texans to think about moving on from Nick Caserio. And I think DeMeco Ryans is essentially a made guy for at least the next two seasons. But more from Hannah McNair talking about last year and their playoff exit against the Chiefs. She brought up the refs. I don't like this. Hannah on the refs. With those type of calls, if that goes the other way, we're winning that game, in my opinion. Hannah, they got sacked 8 times. No, it wasn't happening. It wasn't happening. And there was a lot of little stuff that they should have cleaned up. Don't blame it on the refs. Those calls sucked. Did those calls give the Chiefs the game? That is an oversimplification. And this, along with hoping to be a lot better, is the kind of chum that you put in the waters that likely is just going to lead to disappointed fans because it's just blood. There's no meat. That was a shark reference, in case you couldn't tell. You put chum in the water, the sharks come. But the sharks, when they're there, they're like, hey, man, what the hell? That's what they're thinking with their little fish brains, you know? More from Hannah McNair. We had them on the other side of the field, and multiple times you would have had penalties. We got to clean that up. But it took them to the other side of the 50. So we cleaned that up. We're pretty close. Okay, but it's a lot to clean up. And C.J. Stroud got sacked 8 times in that game. That's a lot to clean up. Like a lot. I'm assuming that's 20% of his dropbacks. You know? Like, that's not good. Anyway, more from Hannah McNair. Let's play that divisional game at home. That's a whole different game when you're in your stadium. Well, yeah, but you're in the AFC. It might not happen that way. Buffalo's in the AFC East. The AFC East is pretty weak. Chiefs are in a more competitive AFC West. A little Freudian slip there, but everyone's loving the Broncos this offseason. Raiders are not going to be rock bottom with Pete Carroll running the show. And you got the Chargers, who did make it to the playoffs last season. So maybe the Chiefs don't have as good of a regular season as they did last year. They were 15-2, after all, which was insane. They're going to win 15 games, get the one seed. I'm skeptical about that. But a lot better. A divisional game at home. I think you are setting expectations beyond the grasp of the Texans for this regular season. 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. Texter, I believe this is Key from LA, asks, have you seen the Texans prediction from Ryan Clark? I'll pass. I don't need to see anything Ryan Clark. The last time I saw a Ryan Clark take, it was in Worst Take Tuesday, I think, because Ryan Clark said that Chris Brown is the greatest entertainer of all time. Okay? And between that and the weird attacks at RG3 and then all the apology videos that he had after taking shots at RG3 where he was recording himself with multiple cameras. I don't know if I'm supposed to look at Ryan Clark as a serious purveyor of takes or the same guy who said that Joe Flacco's return to Brown starting quarterback is the greatest resurrection since Jesus the Christ. Quote, actual quote. I don't really care what he says. How about that? Play the game. I get it. But I think Ryan's got to figure out, like, do you want to goof off or do you want to be serious? And I generally think that when it comes to where he's at, it's very nebulous. You can't take yourself so seriously and at the same time throw out crap like that. That's just me. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. Astros have a game this afternoon, but no Yordan Alvarez. WTF, bro. Also, Lance McCullers might be working out of the bullpen if you want to weigh in on that. How do you feel about what Texas ownership said? We just went through it. Are these expectations too high? And on top of that, what's your biggest tinfoil hat theory in sports or beyond? Because Tinfoil Hat Thursday is here. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stay put. First, let me tell you about my friends at St. Arnold's. St. Arnold's is wonderful. The lawnmower beer, my fave. They have a beer for everyone. I'm a Pilsner guy. They have a beer garden, which is a very fun place for everyone. If you've ever been there before, we had my 36th birthday party. I like to call it that. I think we just had a remote that day. But it was my 36th birthday in St. Arnold's Beer Garden back in April on the holiest of days, April 11th. They've got a place for everyone in that beer garden. And if you want to hold a private event in the next couple of months, they've got a space for everyone. But you got to sign up quickly because you're running out of spots. Right now, go to StArnold.com, click on private events, mention my name, and guess what? You're going to get a lot extra as part of renting one of their spaces. Small groups, big groups, they've got you covered, whether it's 20 people or 300 people for a wedding, a family reunion, a birthday party, happy hour, a trade show. Everything is covered with St. Arnold's private event rooms, whether it's the beer hall, which can hold up to 300 people, or the investors pub for a small group, up to 100 people if you so choose. There's full audio and visual capabilities, a projector, a screen, and on top of that, the best perks. The in-house catering menu from the St. Arnold chef. St. Arnold's food's really good if you've never been there before. And on top of that, the freshest St. Arnold beer in the world, straight from the source with wine, cider, and root beer to boot. Book your event now, StArnold.com. Click on private events. And if you mention ESPN or my name, Paul Gallant, you will receive their brewery game package free for your event. Dartboards, Jenga, cornhole, pool table. I call it bags, cornhole. Called bags. Played it this weekend. Did horribly. Pool table. And as a bonus, photo booth. You can get all of these things as long as you mention ESPN Houston, ESPN, or Paul Gallant. StArnold.com, private events at StArnold.com. Private events to host your big party in a space for everyone. Tell them Paul Gallant sent you.
Answers. I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Handling the biggest conspiracies in sports.
Who has the power to cover it up?
Just follow the money.
I don't like them putting chemicals in the water that turn the friggin' frogs gay.
And asking the questions they don't want answered.
So hold on to your hats.
Tinfoil hat?
They should wear little tinfoil hats.
This is Tinfoil Hat Thursday.
Yes. Offer your conspiracy theories. HRP listener line 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. See this? Hear about this? Steph Curry was on a podcast and was asked if he thinks that Kevin Durant deserved the two finals MVPs that he won with the Warriors.
你会觉得不公平吗?
Yeah, the idea of that being a conversation, I couldn't run from it. It was something that was always front of mind because we have been to, four straight finals at that point.
Yep.
Had won three out of four. 2018, I guess I was close. I had a bad game three.
Yep.
KD played unbelievable the entire time. And it goes into that conversation in the sense of, like, in that moment, if you're playing for a finals MVP, you're probably not going to get it done because you get distracted and might sabotage yourself a little bit. So I never really thought about it that much. 18, I got close to thinking about it. Mm-hmm. But, I'd rather have rings, obviously, and the opportunity to go get rings. But, KD, beyond well-deserved finals.
So Steph is flexing a little bit there, and if you're a Rockets fan and you hate Steph, you're probably like, oh, my God, Steph. We get it.
You care more about championships and finals MVPs.
You're probably thinking that. I like Steph, though, and I think Steph's up to something else here. As I have my tinfoil hat on my head, I think Steph, seeing that Kevin Durant is now on a Rockets team that took the Warriors to seven games in the playoffs last year, I think Steph's playing mind games with Kevin Durant. I think Steph is trying to make Kevin Durant feel as good as he possibly can and not insecure about his time with the Warriors, which I do think is the primary motivating factor for Kevin Durant and his continued play in the National Basketball Association. I do think Durant loves basketball, but I think Durant's motivational fuel is 100% that he went to Golden State, and while he won a lot there, and he won finals MVPs there, and he played great there, people still look at him as the guy who left a team that had a 3-1 lead on the greatest Warriors team ever, only to join them the next offseason. That is my tinfoil hat theory. It's a tinfoil hat Thursday. You can offer yours. Someone on the text line asks, do you think Joe Mixon had to have a couple of toes amputated so they don't want to tell anybody? This is the speculation that comes when you're talking about player injuries. You feed the local media and by proxy, the fans bleep and keep them in the dark. I got a very interesting text before the show with another theory. Because this person thinks that Mixon's embarrassed and the Texans are embarrassed about what happened. He wants it quiet. The team agrees. Tinfoil hat theory, Mixon, who you might remember, at least at a property that he owns, there was an issue involving the kids playing with Nerf guns and actual guns got pulled on them. Maybe Mixon shot himself in the foot accidentally. Who knows? Maybe there's a Plaxico Burress situation going on. It's a tinfoil hat Thursday. That is something that someone offered. I do not necessarily believe that that happened, but this is the kind of speculation that comes when you just don't say, yeah, we're not going to tell you. You know what? If they did that, I would like it. Instead, they're doing this thing like, oh, well, we're protecting the players. The media's always trying to be first. And I'm like, yo, this is the same kind of stuff that people do to deflect and make people mad at something else. And fine, it works. I look at the comments section on the Texans YouTube channel from their press conferences, and I see a lot of people who are like, yeah, we all got to focus on the matter at hand. Okay, sure. It would be nice to focus on the matter at hand with Joe Mixon. You don't have Joe Mixon. What the hell happened? That's all we want to know. But if you point and say, like, yeah, everyone wants to be first out there, and you create this straw man, people will get mad at that. But what happens 2 months from now, maybe 3 months from now, when Mixon's not playing and the Texans running game isn't necessarily good? That's definitely a possibility. So, if he's back at some point this season, great. But we all want to know what happened, and we all have a little extra paranoia because, hey, what's going on with the Astros medical staff and training staff side of things? Jordan Alvarez hit a home run last night. He's not playing in today's game. Like, I'm just saying this is what happens. And you point at the media, like, oh, they're trying to be first. No, we literally just want to know what happened. That's it. We're curious. This isn't about being first. D'Amico said something along the lines of, like, yeah, what happened to old school journalism? We don't have access anymore. You guys don't talk to us unless we're kissing your ass and glazing, you know? So people are asking questions, and I do not get the defensive nature with which the Texans are responding to those questions, you know? Just do Belichick and say, yeah, it is what it is. Boom, you're done. Instead, you're like framing it in this weird, I think, just inaccurate kind of way. Anyway, those are some theories that have been brought to the table on a tinfoil hat Thursday. Another tinfoil hat theory. CJ Stroud's Ohio State Buckeyes are playing the Texas Longhorns on Saturday. In an interview with my guy Andrew Siciliano, CJ Stroud said this about Texas as far as college football goes.
I'm accepting all the smoke. Anybody you mean? Well, you know, here in Houston, it's more Aggie land. So,
right.
You know, I have a lot of Aggies surrounding me, but there's a couple UT guys. I have buddies who are UT guys. I don't know if I have any teammates that went to UT. I don't have a coach, but it's a couple harsh words and a little bit of back and forth, but it'll be fun.
You going? We going to see you on the sideline?
You might see me. Maybe.
You might see him.
Okay. Well, CJ Stroud suggested Houston is Aggieland. By the way, I do think there's more Aggies here. I do. I mean, it is closer, that's for sure. I do think there's just probably more Aggies as a whole than actual Texas grads, but there's a lot of Texas fans, T-shirt Texas fans out there. I am a T-shirt Texas fan to support my friends, but if they were to play Florida or Syracuse, I would root for Florida or Syracuse. And by the way, Syracuse did beat Texas in a national title back in 1959. People don't like to talk about that. They're uncomfortable talking about that because Texas didn't play anyone who wasn't white. Meanwhile, Syracuse did. Uh-oh. Whoops. Syracuse ended racism. Who would have thought? And I went to that school. That's right. Tinfoil Hat Thursday. Is Paul better than people that went to Texas? Because Texas did not play any people that were not white in the national championships and back in 1959. Just asking the question on a Tinfoil Hat Thursday. More Tinfoil Hat Thursday takes. The Colts covered up Jim Irsay relapsing a bunch of times over the last couple of years. This story's wild. The Washington Post wrote a piece about it. Irsay had 3 overdoses from 2020 on, including 2 in a span of 12 days in 2023. When he passed away, Irsay was under the care of a guy by the name of Harry Harutunian, who is a luxury recovery doctor that prescribed Irsay opioids and eventually ketamine. Goodness gracious, sounds fun. Harutunian signed the death certificate, which attributed Irsay's passing to cardiac arrest. No autopsy, no toxicology testing. I do think that people are allowed that right to, hey, if you don't want to know, you don't want to know. This person's a very famous person, so people are doing a little bit of digging. And the digging is finding some fishy, some sus stuff. Sid Harutunian, Dr. Harutunian, my bad. I dedicated 18 months of my life to try to care for him as a brother. We did everything we could to make him as comfortable as possible. As a brother? You're a doctor, dude. You're a doctor. A little bit later. I've always approached my responsibilities with the utmost professionalism. No, you treated him like a brother. What are you talking about? He did say a little bit later, hey, I don't believe it's appropriate to comment on anyone's private health matters, whether living or deceased. Okay, see, this is just like D'Amico Ryan saying, look, hey, if you're asking questions about Joe Mixon, you're just looking to be first and you don't care about our players. You want him to die. Like, kind of said that D'Amico did in the press conference. The daughters of Jim Irsay, Kaylee Irsay Gordon, Casey Foyt, and Caitlin Jackson put out a statement. Our dad was open about his battles with addiction and mental health. He never claimed to be perfect. The media is not the place to address inquiries about information which is disputed, lacks essential context, or involves private medical matters. Well, this professional doctor apparently wasn't so professional. So, I don't know. People are curious about it. This is kind of gossip mongering for sure, though. The Post reports, Colts employees who worked close to Irsay were made to sign strict confidentiality agreements, as were his personal employees at his home, including his cooks, nurses, and even girlfriends. I'll say this about Irsay. I am a fan of Irsay because he seemed to be a fun guy. He got Daniel Snyder out of the National Football League, and he's one of a few people that went out of his way to reach out to my friend, Vanessa Richardson, after her father passed away. I mean, it was a very cool and sweet gesture by him. I think Irsay was a good guy, though flawed. And I do feel bad that his family is now looking up this Washington Post article. But, my goodness, what is this doctor up to? This is some shady, shady stuff from the doctor, you know? Tinfoil Hat Thursday, Grant Cohn, a 49ers hot taker who covers the team, believes that the 49ers' lack of stretching is why they keep getting hurt. And then he posted a video of them doing very, very tepid warm-ups. I think that's interesting. Tinfoil Hat Thursday continues. The NFL. Whoa. The NFL has allowed Tom Brady to actually participate in production meetings. He just can't attend practices. So Brady is going to be a little bit better this year. And I think this is my tinfoil hat theory. The NFL realizes that when they suspended him for 4 games, same amount of time they suspended Ben Roethlisberger for dragging a girl into a bathroom stall in Milledgeville, Georgia, allegedly. I think they realize that they have forsaken his name and that they are preventing Tom Brady from teaching the good word of football to the masses by preventing him from doing these pre-production meetings. So now Tom can preach the good word to the unwashed heretics, NFL fan masses who do not appreciate Brady for his services to the American people. We are all patriots when you think about it. And one last one, Mike Vrabel signed Tommy DeVito, who you might remember from the New York Giants, being a bit of a cartoon character, caricature Italian, and really leaning into like Jersey Italian shore culture, a Jersey Shore Italian culture, you know? Well, Mike Vrabel, not too long after saying, hey, there might be some rats that are leaking information about player injuries, just hired a guy by the name of Tommy DeVito who leans into Jersey Shore culture and may or may not
lean into the idea that he is someone who knows someone, if you will. Dot, dot, dot. And it's nice to know someone who knows someone, dot, 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 if you think you have rats in the building. Tinfoil Hat Thursday, everybody. What else? From the 832, there's a lot of A&M t-shirt fans and Blinn grads that claim they're Aggies. I forgot about that. Yeah, Blinn College does have a lot of that, that's for sure. From the 832, oh, God, you're a t-shirt fan kind of guy. Can't be a fan unless you go to a school. Shut up. Well, yeah, but what if I would have gotten into every single school? Because I would have. I would have gotten into Texas. I would have gotten into Syracuse, because I did. 10% acceptance rate. What's up? Would have gotten into Florida. Would have had a free ride to Florida. Would have gotten into Harvard if I paid my sister to look the other way when she was in the admissions office. You know. So, yeah, I have so many t-shirts. I'm going to get a quad t-shirt just to piss off this one texter who still listens to the show, and we appreciate him for his listening. It is the Paul Gallant Show. Thank you very much for participating to Tinfoil Hat Thursday. Kane Darko says, Joe Mixon got hurt doing a non-football activity, and people don't want, and the Texans don't want people digging to find out exactly what dumb thing he did to get hurt. Right, and we're all curious. And if you know what? If you just said something, if you put out a lie instead of this murky weirdness, just lie to us. Can't say that word. Whoops. Just lie to us. Just lie to us. I didn't say the last two letters of that word, but just lie. Just lie to us. You know? Anyway, AJ behind the glass. Sorry, AJ. I had to make you do that. I am Paul Gallant. It is the Paul Gallant Show. ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call into text and YouTube at ESPN Houston. Mac asks, Paul, how long did it take you to make that tinfoil hat? Like, oh, 5 minutes. 5 minutes. You just twirl it up and you put a little duct tape underneath it. So the duct tape at the bottom did not take that long. Did not take that long. Anyway. It is the Paul Gallant Show. Sticker.
This is the Paul Gallant Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Cam Smith, 0-for-2 tonight, drives one. Home run number 8 on the season, and the Astros take a 2-0 lead as Cam gets his first home run since June 28th.
Gotta feel good for Cam.
Jeff Bagwell is right about that. Jeff does talk all over Todd, doesn't he? I saw someone text that he burped in the middle of the broadcast last night. We'll find that for Friday. I looked for a while. I spent far too much time before the show before it came in here, about 2 minutes before showtime. I spent 30 minutes looking for that burp. 30 minutes. I was looking at time codes on X and Twitter. When did Jeff Bagwell burp? Need that. Need that. If Jeff burps some more, I'm in. Totally in. But let Todd do the home run call. You know? Which doesn't feel the same when Jeff Blum is not dropping a little joke Karuski at the end of it, you know? Anyway, it is the Paul Gallant Show. You want to weigh in on the Astros, who will not play Yordan Alvarez in today's game, at least in the starting lineup. You can. Looking to take 2 or 3 from the Rockies, who actually beat them, despite being the worst team in baseball history. One of the worst teams in baseball history. You've also got Lance McCullers possibly coming out of the bullpen today. The AFC South, that's where the Houston Texans play. Every now and then, we take a look at what's happening in the division on the South Side.
Time to take a ride around the South Side of the AFC with Paul Gallant.
Doesn't matter, Brian. AFC South champions 2 years in a row, Brian.
Yeah, but you guys are back in the...
Doesn't matter what it looked like. Back in the playoffs. Looking forward to the playoffs.
Exactly.
Go ahead. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
The South Side. The South Side.
Yeah.
The South Side. The South Side.
Everybody to the South Side.
The South Side.
Which I'm told is the only Houston rap dance that there is. Like, we didn't really do dances with the raps in the H.
If you know better than me, have at it, because I am the most musically challenged person there might be. Anyway, the Titans have officially named Cam Ward one of their captains. We have played clips from Cam Ward this offseason. I'm not going to lie, I do like him. Whether it's getting into a scuffle with Jeffrey Simmons, he's got some balls. Some of the things that he has said this offseason,
talking about, like, hey, man, my dad was waking up at 4:30 to do a job he hated. If I can't get in here to the earliest I can to lead the Titans, who am I? It's leading to some people saying maybe Cam Ward with the Titans is C.J. Stroud with the Texans a couple of seasons ago. I'm not going to go that far because I really think very little of Brian Callahan, their head coach, who cried after a Titans win against the Patriots last year. It's like, really? Come on, man. The Patriots stink too. Come on, dude. But if you want to make a counter argument, you could say, hey, they were in a lot of one-score games last year, despite Will Levis being under center. So we'll see what the Titans do this season. Travis Hunter, Jaguars wide receiver and cornerback, is practicing at full speed. What? That's a weird report. And is, quote, ready to play both ways week one, end quote. Okay. He and his wife, by the way, just welcomed their first child to the world. Playing both sides of the football as a new father, he is going to be a very tired man. He is going to be a very, very tired man. At least he did have his kid before the season began. But oh boy. Travis Hunter, best of luck, bud. That is going to be a long, long season. Meanwhile, the Colts are just doing a lot of spin zone about their quarterback situation, and it's been fun. Daniel Jones is their starting quarterback this year. And Colts GM Chris Ballard, who somehow still has a job, says that Jones reminds him of Chiefs quarterback Alex Smith when he was in Kansas City. The only parallel I see between the two is that Alex Smith is surprisingly mobile, as was Daniel Jones. But Smith also took care of the football, which Jones does not. And Jones has a lot of comically hilarious moments out there on the football field, like the time he split the seam and ran 60 yards only to trip without anyone touching him at the 6 or 7 yard line in a, I think it was a Monday Night Football game back in the day. Jones is not awful, but Jones is also very replaceable. Alex Smith was a very good quarterback. I think Alex Smith at one point was fringe top 10. After a rough start to his career, he gets Jim Harbaugh in his corner, and I thought he was pretty damn good there. Did pretty well with the Chiefs under Andy Reid. That's very high praise for Daniel Jones. By the way, Colts fans are like, ugh, going into this year. Because Anthony Richardson, that clearly hasn't worked out. I saw a Colts fan post, hey, like, if Alex Jones and Daniel Jones are similar, I'm quarterback for the Colts now. Alex Smith and Daniel Jones are similar. Maybe Anthony Richardson and Patrick Mahomes are similar. Like, someone put that out there. That's wishful thinking. Meanwhile, they keep on babying Anthony Richardson. Chris Ballard said that Richardson isn't done in Indianapolis. Yeah, because they're probably going to bench Jones at some point because he's frustrating. He's trying to save Shane Steichen's job, trying to save Chris Ballard's job. Now, Shane Steichen said Anthony Richardson is still attacking things the right way. So we shall see. Southside, the division the Houston Texans play their games in. Ryan Lost in Texas says, Paul, you should get a Southside fade haircut. No, not doing a fade. Did fade for a little bit. And my hairstylist is like, no, you got to keep this long stuff going. I like it. I really like it. Girlfriend seems to like it as well. I saw somebody say, Paul, you got like 80 bucks to your eyebrows. It's distracting. And yes, that is true. I'm not denying that. But my hot girlfriend likes them. So you can keep it that way. She has yet to make executive decisions about how my hair looks and how I dress, which I'm a fan of. Very, very strong relationship. We are. It's going to be the longest relationship I've ever been in like 3 days. From the 832, Southside was a classic for sure, Paul. But remember, the hookah dance was a vibe as well. I'm going to have to look that up in the commercial break. It is the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Astros and Rockies, game number 3 about to get started. Dana Brown, Astros GM, had a couple of interesting things to say yesterday. We'll react to those comments next. Are you down with Dana Brown? It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stay put.